Blog Talk Radio.
Stand in your way.
Get out of you, but down in Alabama, Mississippi. 25 years while I write. We can hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in conversation time must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze.
What your life can truly be. Shine and star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
It's Friday night, and everybody know what happens on Friday night. It's the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, and we have a hot, hot show tonight. We got the EHB Services LLC, Mr. Eugene H. Bias, CEO, broker, president, providing insurance, annuities, financial education, notary, affordable college planning, debt management, and they're hiring sales professionals, licensed and non-licensed. We're going to talk about a host of opportunities today, money, 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 how to make money, how to save money, how to provide money for your family. That's what insurance is all about. Normally in the Black community, we think insurance is about when we get ready to die and everything is over and we get ready to go. Nobody wants to talk about it. But it is more than that. And our special guest today, Mr. Eugene H. Bias, will explain to us how this whole thing works and how you can profit from it and how you can be a part of it as well. So before we get into the show, I just want to remind you, the economic stability of the Black community is what the Black Business Billionaires Network Club is interested in. We're hosting many different ways that we can develop economic opportunities in our community. We want everybody to have the opportunity to be economically independent, to have their finances in order, to have opportunities to do that which you know you need to get done and things that you need to offer yourself in terms of moving forward. It's just very, very important that we in the Black community, that we end up in a financial situation where we're self-sufficient and independent. And only way we're going to do that, we have to learn about money, we have to learn about opportunities, we have to develop businesses in our community, and we have to make it happen for ourselves. And so here at the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, that's what we're working on. There's so much going on in the diaspora, so much going on in America, so much going on in the Black communities across the world. And one of the major issues is economics. We can only feed ourselves, clothe ourselves, and educate ourselves if we're economically stable. So our special guest today, Mr. Eugene H. Bias, we're going to bring him in, and we're going to start talking about this opportunity that's here for us, and also talk about how can we entertain a better financial portfolio, a better grips of our finances. Let's welcome Mr. Eugene H. Bias. Give him a nice hand.
Thank you, everybody. Good evening to our listening audience.
Welcome. One of the major things that I do in the show, I try to get to know about the person a little bit, because sometimes you'd be surprised how your life is so similar to someone else's. And, you know, when they see how you took that journey to success, that journey to business and opportunity, people say, wow, you know what? I could do that. Or a young person in the same experience could say, yeah, I want to be like Mr. Eugene. You know, I want to be EHB Services, a similar company. So let's go back. Let's say about 10 years old. Most people can remember 10 years old. What were you thinking, what would you, where were you, where did you grow up, where did you live, and where did you, I know a lot of time when people say, well, you know, 10 years old, nobody think about anything, you know, they just want to eat candy and play, you know, but, you know, and I know sometimes memory lane, sometimes it's hard to remember everything, but just give us a little background where you come from, yes, and at that age, what were you thinking in terms of a young person? Where did you see yourself? Where do you want it to be?
Well, I'm from the Cooperative Republic of Guyana, and at 10 years old, I was home in Guyana thinking about being an aeronautical engineer. I wanted to repair planes. I had a passion for aircrafts, and I wanted to be an engineer. I migrated to the United States in 1989, and I lived in New Jersey, where I attended Teaneck High School, and I got my high school diploma. While I was in high school, I cooked at Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, and being able to work and study at the same time, it motivated me when I was able to buy my first car, because coming from the Caribbean, most of us know that our parents don't provide us with a lot of things. We have to actually go out and get it, as a friend for ourselves. So I was happy that I was able to get my own car. And ever since leaving a college, my first associate degree was with the Wright Technical Institute. I end up going and learn telecommunication management. And my career began from there. I've been a telecommunication manager with AT&T for a number of years. And then I moved into the, after the telecom bubble bust, as it would be, in deregulation, I became a mortgage broker. And then I became a freight broker when it was imminent that the mortgage financial stock market was going to have a crash. I diversified and became a freight broker for many years. So I did mortgages and I did freight brokerage for a number of years, Tiffany Mortgages in Brooklyn, New York. So that's pretty much it. And then I was away from the U.S. for about 10 years overseas in London. And I returned home in 2019 and decided that I wanted to help families. I wanted to be able to show people what I've done and what's available, because I found out over the years that our community was struggling on basic economics. And when I say basic economics, I mean basic economics. People don't think about savings. People don't think about compulsory savings. People are not, don't have plan or a plan devised for if the imminent happened to their loved one or even to them, what would happen? You know, we often hear the stories about taking out the hat and begging or going to the church or the new thing on, and that was before Facebook and all that stuff. Now you hear about GoFundMe pages. And I looked at that, I evaluated that situation, and I said, how can I help? How can I be an asset to the community other than a liability? I took the test. I became an insurance agent. I started learning the products. I became an independent insurance agent so I can work with multiple companies. And I never stopped going to school, reading, learning, and experiencing by widening my horizons as to what's out there and how it can be an asset to people at large. With that being said, I've decided that I will team up with multiple companies who has multiple options that can be valuable to our community and be able to help our younger generation come out from the pit of not having or not being able to save their family from being, or save families from being work always, savings never. And that's one of the things that we faced in our community, whereas we would work, and we don't have a savings. And it's not because we don't want a savings or we're not working a sufficient amount of money. It's just that we don't know how to save. So when I look at the way Walt Disney was started, and I look at the way JCPenney was started and how McDonald's was started, it motivated me to look at even the Foster Farm, how they were started. And they were all started by life insurance and cash value in life insurance policies. And then I looked at the four policies, 401k, et cetera, and IRAs. And when I was doing my research, I was planning on retiring, and I was starting to look at my tax bracket, where I would be and how I'll be able to do it and how I would fit in financially with the inflation, the changing of time. How can I secure my savings without a loss? What am I doing different from everyone else who had losses, suffered losses at the hands of the stock market? Because as far back as the 1800s, the stock market been taking hits, major hits and crashes and all the lovely stuff that goes along with investing in the stock market. So my concern was, how do I change that for our people? How do a certain number of people are able to do it and others are not able to do it? So I started investigating that more and researching that more and seeing how people do it. And then I sit and I investigated the banks. What are the banks doing that we, and you know, we all know the traditional way, you put money in the bank, you let it sit there, you get some interest in a savings account, which is pennies or peanuts, as it would be, and the bank is making money. And then the crash happens and a number of branches close or banks close, and then the cycle starts all over again. How do we secure ourselves from that not happening to us as a people, as a recurrent cycle? So I looked at the FDIC balance sheet, which gives some very interesting data that give me a lot of cause for concern, because it's not rocket science and people of color can benefit from it. All people can benefit from it, and not just one class of people that are currently benefiting from it. So I found that being able to use my bank account just to pay bills and put my money in a secured safe haven, pre-tax, post-tax dollars that remain post-tax when I'm 65 and beyond, so they're still tax deductible, they're still tax-free money available to me, because most people say, well, I want to get Social Security, and the money I have in for my 401k, I should live comfortable. But what the accountant don't tell you is when you have the money in the 401k, and you look at your income from, you look at your income from the Social Security and your pension, what tax bracket you will be in at that time. So given those things consideration, I have decided that it's best for me to be able to help families, educate families on these issues and subject, and teach them a different way, a better way to save money and to have money and have more access to money in later days to come. Also, I saw an article that made me even more motivated is when the Wall Street Journal, according to the Wall Street Journal, they have an article that says, according to the Federal Reserve, 22% of all IULs are owned by the wealthiest 1% of America. 55% of all IULs are owned by the wealthiest 10. I ask myself, is only the wealthiest 10 have money? Don't the poor work too? Don't they earn?
Break down
Can
the
they
IUL
deposit an
the
amount?
People.
That's correct.
Yeah, break that down, the IUL. Break that down for people.
Okay.
Let them know what that is.
An IUL account basically is a savings account, a cash value account that you're able to take the universal life insurance, okay? The universal life insurance that builds up cash value. So if you're able to pay for the insurance for, I don't know, say 10 years, 15 years, 20 years at a level term, the value of the face value of the policy doesn't go up. Your monthly premium doesn't go up. But it have a built-in cash value, built-in cash every time you make that payment into that policy. Yeah, it's currently sitting at 6% for the past few years. That's what most companies are paying on an IUL. Okay, it's a fixed index. So, regardless of what happened with the stock market, your money is never affected. Most of us, I came to this country when I was 16 years old. I came with the clothes on my back and the little that was in the suitcase. That's all I came with. Okay? If you was to take an IUL at the 15-year mark, when a child is born, for 15 years after that child is born, you can have that sweet 16th birthday party without worrying about asking grandma or godparents or friends, anyone to assist to give that child a happy time, okay? With an IUL, you don't have to die to get the money. You can draw the money at any time. It does not affect your death benefit. It's not a loan. It's your money that's being saved, and you're getting the minimum you can get in return on your money is 4.5%. Index Universal Life Insurance is one of the best policies out there for everyone. And I happen to be an agent broker that sells that policy. I'm able to sit with families and devise savings plan. West Indian people, some calls it susu, some call it box. I like to use the term compulsory savings. When you put the money there, it's there.
Okay? People feel that when they have a life insurance, they don't think about critical illness. If they get the big things like stroke, heart attack, cancer, your life insurance should be able to pay out 80 to 90% of the face value. So you can live while you are alive. It's not just your beneficiaries is able to receive that money. Your carers are able to be compensated without a total dependency on the system. But many people don't look at those factors. There is other avenues like long-term care and so on and so forth that can be covered while you are young, while you're still of age, working age. People can buy a policy even though they're in remission from cancer, even though they have diabetes, with up to a 12.5 A1C. There is policies out there for most, if not everybody. But these are things that are not spoken about in our community. We don't know about these things. We learn that if you got cancer, well, you're dying and we got to find money to bury you. But no one talks about if you had an insurance or can we get you an insurance. It might be a little more expensive, but an insurance is an insurance. There is some benefit for your loved ones. Okay? I look at affordability. I don't say, oh, you buy this plan, this is what you're going to get. No. I look at the affordability. We go through the whole plan, the financial plan, as to how you're going to double your money. You know, we look at how are you going to be debt free? How many years is it going to take you to be debt free? What is the financial plan for you to become debt free? What do you have to do? Do you have to look for promotion? Do you have to look for another job? Are you stagnated in your job? Do you have to be able to cut back on your expenses to save more of your income? Is your disposable income not strategically planned? If it's strategically placed, they're both P's. One is planned and one is placed. So we have to look at it. See your whole income, look at your entire expenses, and then we can determine whether you need to be on a $100 plan a month or every 2 weeks or a $200 plan, what your affordability can be so you can put away for the future and secure your family in the event the inevitable happens. In certain cities, you walk, you drive. This is the age of today. If you have an accident on the road, and God forbid it's a hit and run, okay? No one, there's no witnesses. What happens to your care going forward? Do we plan about that? Do we think about that? Do we make preparation for that? What about our 18-year-old? Our children will get older. When they become 18 and they graduate from high school, okay, well, it says, what, 22% of them will get a scholarship. Great, lovely, they'll get a scholarship. The scholarship going to pay for tuition, books. How about housing? How about the car to get to and from home while they're away in school? Where is that money coming from? There's peer pressure. Where is that student getting close to where? It's not like back in the olden days when, you know, you had two shirts and one pant and that carry you through the week and you call that school clothes. That doesn't work anymore. What provisions we as parents are making for our youngsters, whereas they can live comfortably, not fit in, live comfortably, that they don't have to think about what their friend has or what their friend is able to afford or what their friend can do and they can do that cause them to take risks to be able to do those things or to enjoy those quality of life. Now, I'm not saying that's all right, but it's also equally so is not all wrong. So in doing this, it's a whole big plan as to what we look at, how we do things, the things that needs to be done in order to know. We do a financial DNA discovery. I want to know everything, okay? I just don't want you to come and tell me I want to buy an insurance. Why are you buying the insurance? What is your goal? Mm. What are you trying to do? You're buying an insurance to do what? Just to bury you? Just to cremate you? Just to take you back to your country? No, I need to know what your goals are. And I have a book that I give my potential clients to take a look at. Okay? How do they have proper protection against loss of income? No one thinks about that until they get unemployed. $300 and $400 from unemployment, what happened to your $1,500 a month rent?
Mm.
What happened to your mortgage for $2,000? Do we think about that?
Right.
How do we protect them against loss of their savings?
Right.
Let's talk about that. Don't think about the stock market. Anyone can put money in the stock market. But do you want the headache of losing that money, your hard-earned money? So let's talk saving. Let's talk real savings. Let's put the money in a cash value insurance policy and watch that money grow. Let's set goals.
Right.
You know? So these are things that...
Wow. You said a whole bunch of stuff that brings so many thoughts in my mind. One thing that I know, when I was growing up as a kid in South Carolina back in the 50s, people used to buy insurance on each other. It could be like sometimes it was like $1 a month, 75 cents a month, but people would just buy, and there was no requirements. Like that, you didn't, like now there's certain requirements. If you're going to buy insurance on somebody, there's certain stipulations. You have to have, you know, the person have to be agreeable, they have to be a family member, you know, things of that sort. But back in those days, you can just say, you know, there's Joe and Joe is excellent, live over there, and he's X amount of age, Joe, and I'm just going to buy, open a policy on him very quickly. And a lot of people, because in the black community back in those days, we were subject to being alienated from certain financial opportunities, if you will. We were a lot of the older black people did not trust banks. And part of it could be because we were subject to not having, you know, because of discrimination and racism and Jim Crow laws and things of that sort, we were not exposed to the banking system and financial instruments. So a lot of people say, oh, you know, black people are so far behind in white people in terms of coming up today now in terms of investments and having portfolios and things turning over and making money. And now a lot of people with cryptocurrency, a lot of people are getting into and understanding Forex and investing and having a diversified portfolio in terms of investing in different areas and different types of commodities or different ventures or different technology. So now you're saying that insurance could be that investment vehicle in lieu of general investments, standard conventional investments, or you're saying it could be a part of it? Would you, in other words, what I'm saying is, would you advise a person if they could have a conventional investment, a standard diversified financial portfolio, a standard investment, and have insurance? Is that a good combination, or is it good to just use the insurance itself as an investment vehicle?
Well, my friend, I will answer that question in a strategic way. My personal view on it is very simple. If you have the time and the ability
to have your eyes on every ticker symbol on the bullish or the bearish market, or looking at the Dow or the NASDAQ or the S&P 500, and taper your time to watch the ticker symbols and knowing when to buy and when to sell, then be my guest, okay? But I'm still saying, okay, the market crash a number of times from 1929 to now. I won't even tell you how many times the market crashed, okay? The market had a pitfall up to yesterday, massive pitfall yesterday, okay? I like going safe, okay? I'm a father of many to make sure that my children are secure. I think that in these trying times, I would put my investment where it's secured. Yeah, I'm sure it's secured, okay? And to name a few, there is companies like JCPenney that did it, okay? There's companies like Walt Disney that have done it, McDonald's that have done it, Foster's Farm has done it, Stanford University has done it, okay? Even to, and this is directed straight to the ladies, even to Tupperware did it. Use their energies into investing into cash value insurance policies. Companies, banks are also investing in cash value insurance policies. Your 401k monies and other investments are invested heavily into 401ks by companies, by stockbrokers and banks. My friend, I would say, I don't want to recreate the wheel. I want to go with successes. I want to keep the money than risk the money. So my best advice would be have a couple of IULs, and there's other plans that are out there to make sure that your debt management vehicle stays on course. Your emergency fund, how many people, I mean, a guy making $150,000 and he's spending $149,000, what is the savings power? Mm. That gentleman can't say nothing to me, okay? Mm. Hey, what I'm going to ask him, how much is in your emergency fund? When an emergency happens, do you have 3 to 6% of your monthly income that you can access at any one time? Emergency don't tell you when it's coming. Jamaicans has a saying that says, trouble don't set like rain. You don't see when it's coming. When it comes, what happens? Prepare for the unexpected. When do we start preparing for the unexpected? That's what stumped our community. We have a cash flow problem. How many people can tell me today that they can manage their expenses, whereas they have an emergency fund, they have protected their income from loss, protected their savings from loss, and have successfully done it in the past 20 years. When we die, when we travel to the great beyond, what are we leaving behind for our young people? What are we teaching our young people? There is no magic to this. The numbers speak for itself. And if the numbers speak for itself, why can't we build wealth to avoid the impact of
taxes, losses, and inflation. It's not rocket science. We can put away the same way they put $50 a week or $50 every fortnight or $50 a month or $100 for Susu and Partner and Box compulsory savings. That runs 2 months, 3 months, however long it runs. Some run for a year. But at the end of the year, it's just your money that you put in. It didn't grow any interest. You lose money doing that because you have to pay the banker to hold your money for you. Why not get 6% interest on it? Minimum 4.5% interest on that same money. Why can't we look at accumulating and growing our assets for the future? That's accumulating money and growing it. Every year we get an interest, mandatory, compulsory interest we're growing our money. In all the crashes they had in the stock market, the insurance industry was never affected. Why?
Wow.
Tell me why. Look, I was reading an article that blew my mind. And it motivated me to have the ability to come on the show and even have my own show where I can educate people about business and finance, okay? And it hurt me because everyone knows the rock and roll king, Elvis Presley, died in 1977. His estate was worth $10 million. He had one heir to his estate. It's a daughter. $10 million. 73% of his estate went towards legal costs, probate court, estate taxes that leave his only daughter with $3 million. Now, if you don't call that failing to plan, then, my friend, I don't know what planning to fail is like.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, you said some key words, too. You said index universal life insurance. And cash value. I've got the cash value. What was the other word there on cash value?
IULs.
Right. Right. Okay. So these are the things that you want people to look for when they go out to get insurance, and definitely get insurance from you. We have a packed house out here as well, and we have many, 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 many listeners that want to talk to you, I'm sure, about their financial concerns and needs. And we're going to start with our technical support guy, our great guy there, Mr. Nathaniel Evans, 347-788, and see what question he would have for you.
Sure.
Yeah, how are you doing, Eugene? Nathaniel, you told
me
today now. this is very interesting. So in this policy, am I able to split it up like one for myself, one for my daughter, one for my wife, or do I have to put it in conjunction?
No. Each policy, this is how we write these policies. It's a great question. There'll be an individual policy for you, an individual policy for your wife, an individual policy for your daughter. These policies will have different face values because of age, medical condition, and that kind of stuff. Okay?
Gotcha.
But you can start a child's policy for as low as $10 per month and have the chronic, critical, terminal, and disability rider and don't have to do any medical for yourself, your wife,
and your daughter and be able to sleep comfortably at night, because a chronic illness doesn't tell you when it's coming. I wish it did. Okay? A critical illness, you know, the big one, heart attack, stroke, cancer, you know, some paralysis of two or more limbs. You know, there's policies that you can get up to $1.5 million, 90% of the policy value paid out to you because you suffer one of those. Now, if you know when a stroke is coming, please let me know. And me surviving the heart attacks I had, I can tell you it's really important to have.
Wow, interesting. We thank you so much for that question, and we're going to move on to the next caller, 404-512. Your mic is open, 404-512. You're on with Mr. Eugene Bias, and we're talking about insurance, investment, and the opportunities thereof. 404-512, your mic is open. You might have to unmute yourself. Can you hear me? 404-512, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hello.
Okay, you're on with Mr. Eugene Bias. We talk about insurance, investment, annuities, financial education, debt management, et cetera, college savings, college planning and savings as well.
Yes.
You have a question for Mr. Eugene Bias?
Yes. I'm very interested in the IUL. If you can elaborate a bit more on that. I'm very interested in that for my daughter.
Yes, I can. Thank you for your question, ma'am. Index Universal Life Insurance, okay, is most often used to provide financial protection for your loved ones after your death, yeah?
Okay.
But some policies combined with debt benefit has an investment component. So if you have a daughter, as you clearly stated, your daughter is going to school now. About how old is your daughter?
My daughter is 5.
5, great. Lovely age. Your daughter would be able to get a policy. You'll be able to take the policy out for your daughter. You'll be the policy owner because your daughter couldn't sign the dotted lines, okay? And it would protect your daughter. And I never like to say this to parents, but it happens every day. I see it every day where your daughter gets critically ill. Okay, she's young now at 5. It's easy for you to get a $250,000 policy, a $250,000 policy, for less than $50 for that child. In most cases, that child wouldn't have to do a medical and still have a savings plan built in to that amount that you pay, that premium that you pay for that child. That would grow ton of cash for that child. So when she becomes 16, you can buy her a car, her first car. You can have a 16 birthday party for her by just withdrawing money from the investment component, because it's a fixed index that guarantees to pay the minimum of 4.5% each year on the monies of the policy. If she gets ill, you're able to receive up to 90% of the disability benefit from the face value of the policy and still have the policy going. But you know the best part of that policy? I'm going to tell you. She's 5 years old now, and that policy is going to cost you somewhere between $30 to $50, rough numbers, yeah? I promise you it's not going to go over $50 a month. Promise you. It's not going to go over $50 a month, okay, if she have no medical conditions. She don't take any prescription drugs for anything. It shouldn't go over $50 based on my expertise. You, as a parent, let's play with some numbers. You decide that she goes to college. As a parent, she goes to college, yeah? You took out money at her 16th birthday. You gave her that lovely car. You gave her that sweet 16. Now let's talk adulthood, yeah? He says, well, you know what? She goes to college. She got an education, and she wants to have a family. This is the problem that we face in our community. She have a family, and we have a baby shower. We have a bridal shower. Yeah? Beautiful. Yes. She's having a family. Where is she going to live? Do you want her to live with you, or do you want her to be independent?
Independent, of course.
You would like her to be independent. Great. Now, for her to be independent, she has student loans from her education, okay? Her SLS on her student loan supplement that she took out. Under normal circumstances, she has debt. Her policy remains the same. Her payment never increases. The face value never decreases. Her savings keep growing every year. Now you can say, honey, I think you're responsible now. You're working, and your policy is now $50, and I've been paying this all your life. You can take over this payment and carry it. The face value of $250 remained the same, and her payment until age 85 remains $50 a month, and it builds cash all the way. So not only are we teaching our children savings, we're teaching them responsibility. We're also teaching them to save and invest. Now, she wants to get married, you know, these days, marriage of what, $10,000, $15,000? She decided she wants to have a home to live in. She don't want to rent. And if she ever meet me, that's one of the things that I will put in her path, home ownership. I don't like renting. I enjoy being a homeowner. I think every American should be a property owner. As long as you're working and you're earning an income, you should own real estate. It's the only thing that does not spoil. You don't have to feed it, just maintain it. She wants to buy that lovely home. For her family, she decides she wants to live in whatever state. Your phone number says you're in 404. That I think it's Georgia. She wants to live in Florida. Now she can take money from her policy and buy that lovely home in Florida. Now you're saying, oh, my income have changed. I don't have money to give my daughter. I can't do the things I used to do. I'm not young and fit like I used to be. But you have provided that financial stability at a young age when the child was insurable. Now you don't have to prove insurability for the child. Life happens. She gets older. She have a baby. She might get some diabetes. She might get some high blood pressure. Life happens. Things happen as she gets older. She's no longer insurable at the prime rate of $50 per month. She no longer has the ability to get that reasonable insurance when she gets older.
Mm-hmm.
Now, any American can find $50 on the worst day in a month. I would agree to that every day.
Yes.
But when she becomes 30 and 35, the policy is no longer
$50 a month. She's not able to get a $250,000 policy for $50 a month. What happens then? Life already happened. What happens then? The family find insurance to be a burden now because mama or daddy didn't fix that child's future from she was small. By buying that policy while the child is insurable at the lowest possible rate and have a compulsory savings for that child all the way through her life. Now, what if something happened to that child? She goes, she plays basketball. There's a number of things that happen at school, and I don't wish it on your child one second. But these things happen at school every day. We hear something happen at school that we don't want to hear about. Something happened on the streets that we don't want to hear about. What recourse you as a parent have? What are you going to do when these things happen? Use credit cards, borrow from a neighbor, ask a church, fill out a GoFundMe page. And I think that we as a people should have more dignity and pride and do like other people have done in the past. Save for the inevitable. If it never happens, God bless us. What if it happened? Do we have it put away to take care of that? Your child will thank you later.
Great.
So I hope you answered your question.
Great, great. Thank you so much for that question. We're going to open up 678-496. Your mic is open. You're on with Mr. Eugene Bias. Your mic is open. You might have to unmute yourself. Okay. We're going to open up 571-264. 571-264. You're on with Mr. Eugene Bias. 571-264. You might have to unmute yourself as well. You're there. Okay, we're going to open up 718-216. 718-216. Your mic is open. You're on with Mr. Eugene Bias. 718-216, your mic is open. You might have to unmute yourself as well. Hello? 718-216? Okay. 347-880, your mic is open. 347-880, your mic is open. You might have to mute yourself. 347-880, you might have to unmute yourself. Can you hear me? 347-880? Okay. 347-401. 347-401, your mic is open. You're on with Mr. Eugene Bias. 347-401. You have to open your mic. Can you unmute yourself as well? Wow, maybe Eugene is doing such a good job. Nobody have any questions. Well, we're gonna open up the mic for the man himself, Dr. James W. Winborn, the creator and the founder of this self-finance reparations program, the My Project Neo, the 1 Million Acts of Kindness Across America, and knows Mr. Eugene Byers very well as well. We're going to open up his mic and give him a nice hand and join him into the conversation.
Welcome, Dr. Wimborne.
Your mic is open. Can you hear me, or are you muted? Or you got to unmute yourself. I'm getting. I feel like the Twilight Zone. Everybody is muted. Some problem. Can anybody say something so I know I'm alive? Besides Mr. Eugene Byers, anybody say something? Dr. Wimborne, your mic is open. You may have to unmute yourself. Can you hear me? Okay, I'm going to try 678-755, 678-755. Your mic is open. You might have to unmute yourself. You're on with Mr. Eugene Byers. We're talking about insurance, annuities, financial education, affordable college planning, debt management. Your mic is open. You have to unmute yourself. Okay, technical support, Mr. Nathaniel Evans. You go ahead and unmute some of these mics as well. Maybe I need that extra push. Okay, I'm going to open up 347-358. 347-358. Your mic is open.
Yeah, blessed evening to you gentlemen and gentle ladies. This is Terrence. I am a community advocate, minister, and also financial professional. I don't know what else I am requested to say.
You said a lot. Well, Mr. Eugene Byers is from EHB Services, LLC. They deal with insurances, providing all kinds of insurance policies, annuities, financial education, affordable college planning, and debt management. And we're talking about the tremendous opportunity with insurance, the buying for your, some people say buy term and invest the difference. There's all different kind of opportunities there. So we're talking about insurance. We're talking about protecting your family, protecting your income, and those things of that sort. And Mr. Eugene Byers is a tremendous person who's been doing this for a long time and has a tremendous amount of knowledge.
Yes.
So, Mr. Evans, Nathaniel, I'm going to ask you if you would go ahead. I'm going to open up your mic. Mr. Nathaniel Evans, can you hear me? Is your mic open? Nathaniel? Wow, this is unusual. Well, I would say, Nathaniel. Yes.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Yeah. What's the first 6 digits of your number, ma'am?
718-216.
Okay, great. I'm glad you said something because I thought I was getting lost here. So we're on with Mr. Eugene. Thank you. I was feeling like, oh my God, I'm getting that old. You know what's going on. You know, you saved the day. God bless you.
Yeah.
Good evening to you as well. Well, you're on with Mr.
Yes.
Eugene Byers. Hope you heard. We're talking about insurance. We're talking about savings. We're talking about family financial protection. And you have any questions for Mr. Eugene Byers?
Oh no, I'm just listening. Oh, good evening, Mr. Eugene. Pleasant to you. Pleasant evening to you, sir. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
My name is Sandra. Sandra Dunn.
Alan.
So, yes, I heard it was very interesting. Let me introduce myself first of all. I'm also on the campaign.
Oh, Sandra Dunn.
Yes.
The great Sandra
yes.
Dunn. Oh, God. Let me give you a hand, Sandra. I want to give you a hand here. I am so elated with all these financial geniuses, and Sandra's a financial genius. Financial genius as well. And
yes.
So you can actually support some of the things that Mr. Bias is saying in terms of the importance and the value of insurance, protecting your family, having that financial security for the future. If anything happens, going to college,
mm-hmm.
you know, debt management, college planning, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. And I totally 100% agree with him. And that's the reason why I'm also on the campaign this month to properly educate our community regarding our financial planning towards our financial, you know, preparation for our children and our children's children, because we don't think like that in our Black community, unfortunately to say that, but it's a fact. And I totally agree with Mr. Eugene that, you know, we don't get this education every day. And that's the reason why I position myself in my community, mostly on the weekends, put myself physically to let the community, I can see them, I can greet them, and then I can introduce myself, especially to the small business owners. And most of them, as he was saying, most of them really do not have a plan B. They, you know, look what happened since the COVID. A lot of small businesses has closed. Where financially did they turn to? I mean, where is their backup plan? What do they have in store? A lot of them just think that, you know, their business, they're going to have this liquid forever, and it doesn't work like that. So they need to educate more. Remember, when we used to go to school, they never teach us about financial planning. They give us maths and English and, you know, the basics and everything else that has nothing to do with everyday living. We have to learn these things. We have to get out of the box now and learn these things. And when we on the air talking about these financial plannings and the insurance, people just think as they hear insurance, they said, oh, my God, I have to wait until I die for somebody to inherit whatever I have. And it's totally not so. It's while you're alive, you must have some form of investment, some secure investment. And that's what I'm trying to tell our community, that we need to really open our ears when we as financial advisors and professional comes on the air and trying to educate them. They really need to listen, because the other guys are way above us. I'm hate to say that, but everybody knows the white guys, they're not doing that thing to their family. When they sit around the table to eat their dinner, this is their round table talk. How to financial plan. This is the way they talk. This is their language when they're eating their meals. When last we sit around the table and have a good meal with our children and talk about preparing for the future financially and how to secure our financial planning, you know, when you fall into some luckily if some people fall in some big money come down the way, what do they do with it? Taxes around the corner, and sometimes people are getting tax returns. Tell me what you're going to do with it. Are you going to run to the mall, or are you going to sit down with a financial advisor like myself or Mr. Eugene and say, okay, let us talk? Because there are a lot of investment, secure investment in financial planning, in insurance. So a lot of people said to ask me, oh, you know, it's just the insurance you have where it's just you die and you get your benefits. No, there is a lot more than that. There is investment that is inside. It depends. We design it for you. One size does not fit all. It's like you walk into a store. You're not going to be a size 2 and you order a size 10, or you're not going to be a size 12 and you order a size 2. It doesn't work like that. So what you have to do is sit down with each individual, customize a plan to fit that individual needs. Sometimes they need it for their entire family. so everybody's not going to get the same plan. So we're going to design it and make sure your financials prepare to feed, to meet that need, where whatever financial, whatever insurance plan that we suggest for you. And we're going to make the suggestion, because sometimes when I sit with individuals and give them the and make suggestions, sometimes they just want to go above and beyond. And we're going to say, listen, this is what is designed for you. This is what are appropriate for you now. Later we can extend it to something else. So there's a whole lot more in the plan, in insurance, than just burial money. Okay? So I totally agree with my colleague there. He's doing a great job. I'm so glad that somebody is really voicing the same thing that I've been saying and extend it a little more, because our community need to get up and start doing proper financial planning. That's my campaigning for this month. It is Black History Month. Let us get the ball rolling. Let us get our family set up in a proper way. Let us do that F&A. We're going to sit down and just give them a properly financial analysis, break it down, put it on paper, let them see what they're getting, and do the right thing for our family. Our children and our grandchildren will thank us later.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, when you say that, Miss Sandra, pleasure to meet you. I hope I meet you in the flesh one day. I echo something a few days ago to an associate of mine, and he looked at me like I had six heads. He's been in business for 21 years, and unfortunately, he said to me,
"Are you gone?"
Hello? Okay, he said, "Jane, if I die tomorrow, my business die." I said, "Then you don't have a business. You have you." I said, "Have you ever heard about a key person policy like that?" And I said, "How could you be a businessman, own a business, and do not protect your investment, your legacy? Because you want this business just for you, or you want it for your family, your children, your grandchildren? What do you want the business for? Just for you to eat and survive and live, or you want it to go on?" I said, "I want the business to go on. How my grandchildren are going to live? How my kids are going to finish their education? How my grandchildren?" I says, "How? Have you ever considered a key person policy?" And he says, "You didn't know what that was." And this is a Black guy that's in business for 21 years. He is the top executive for the company. Okay? And he has the fancy cars and the nice suits and, you know, the lovely expensive shoes. And he doesn't have a key person policy for his business. Okay? Now, he went to the doctor, and he got some lovely news that he didn't want to hear from his cardiologist. He got some lovely news from his cardiologist he didn't want to hear. And he said to his cardiologist, "Before you take me to do an angiogram, I need to find somebody to run the business while I'm going to be out for 2 weeks." Now, he's thinking about financing the salary for that person to run the business in his absence. When I asked him about insurance to protect the profit of the business, how do we offset lost income that comes from lost sales in the business? This is why businesses are folding. This is why minority businesses are folding, because we don't put protection in place. We don't have the safe haven for our businesses. Earlier in the show, I said, "Don't tell me about your spending power. I'm not interested. I don't care. We all can spend money.
hear what I would like to know. You want to have a discussion with me? Let's talk about your saving power. Tell me where you save 3 to 6 months income and generating an interest. It's in a secured account that you can access it if and when an emergency comes. Why now you have to choose between your health and your business? He says, well, I never thought about it. My accountant never told me about that. I said, your accountant does accounting. I do insurance. I am telling you what you need to put up. And these are the things that accountants fail to tell their clients. Is it because they don't know or because they don't want to know? That's an argument for a different, that's a topic for a different argument. But when you sit with your insurance person, you have to tell him everything. You have to understand that if you take a loan from the bank and it's guaranteed loan and there's a lien put against your business for that loan, it has to be paid. What have you put in place to guarantee that repayment? Are you going to pass and leave the business indebted so your loved ones has to worry about paying that debt after you expired? There are different policies to secure those interests. But we as small minority or even big minority business, we don't look into the future. We live for today and tomorrow fine for itself. There's term policies, there's permanent policies that's available for key persons. Why are we not investing in those? It's protecting our interests, protecting our assets, and giving us peace of mind. When we go to sleep, we sleep. We don't have to worry, what if? On our way home, you know, I kicked a scenario to him, and I said, what if when you're going to the bank to do the deposit, yeah? God forbid a truck come and T-bone you. You got knocked unconscious, they take you off to the hospital. Nobody worry about who you are, what you're doing, or where you're going. The briefcase is left on the back seat with the money. While you're on the operating table and the anesthesiologist is telling you that they have to put you under to give you 3 surgeries, you're thinking about today's sales, that they make it to the bank. And where it is. Why put your body through the stress when you can secure those interests, those concerns, those unforeseen circumstances by reasonable, proper investments in insurance that will take care of those interests and you can relax and have a speedy recovery other than worrying about getting back to work. The policy beneficiary can be a number of different people based on who the policy owner is. Who look into that? It's devastating to your loved one when you have XYZ business and because that person has expired prematurely or expired naturally and nothing placed for the business to carry on. So yes, I agree with you. Even business owners need to be educated in our community that there are key person policies available for both long-term and short-term for them. I believe that everyone should have a policy from the cradle to the most insurable age possible based on their circumstance, whether it's 85 or 100, they should have a policy. I am a true believer of that. And you want a policy. Everyone can have a policy that builds cash value, but most people can. And they should utilize it because it's an asset to you and your family's future. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about my good friend Sandra. Guess what?
I'm sure we will educate you. The problem is, will you take what we teach you and put it into practice? That's the real problem in our community, because the other guys are doing it. Why can't we have policies that's building up a ton of cash? 4% interest rate, minimum 4%, 4.5% interest rate. Why can't we do it? Why your $50 is not as good as my $50? We die intestate. We don't even create a will. Without a will, we have to go to probate court. It's a cost associated with going to probate court. We have attorney fees. We have administrative fees. We have taxes. How do we protect our loved ones? How do we keep that money in our pocket than giving it to the man? How do we build a family legacy where we're not protecting the family wealth? Why are we not, you know, my friends will tell you, I have to get home between 5:30 and 6 o'clock to have dinner with my daughter. I must have dinner at home. You know what we talk about? Not the tablet. The tablet don't make it to the table. She's pretty young. The tablet don't make it to the table. We sit and talk, how was school today? How was your teacher? What did you learn today? Okay, daddy had to go to work this morning. This is what daddy did today. This is what daddy day was like. And we have conversations. We just give her exposure. And it's her job every day coming from school is to pick up the mail. She knows to separate the bills from the junk. And she's not 10 years old. Because the bills have to be paid. She knows we're going to sit and discuss. We're going to sit and discuss the bills. Yeah? We're going to talk about the lights being on. We're going to talk about the faucet that's dripping, the difference in the bill. She's not 10 years old. We talk about finances, preaching it outside and not doing it at home. My 22-year-old, she would tell you, when I took out her policy, I told her, daddy will make the first payment while you're working. She, you know what I mean? You paid every month. She, daddy, what am I doing with $250,000? I says, honey, it's $250,000 today. It sounds like a lot. But guess what? When you get to my age, it's still going to be $250,000. It's not going to be so much, but it can help you do something down the road. It's building a ton of cash for you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
The children is getting the feel and the understanding at a young age. They're learning responsibilities. Don't tell me about how you could spend. I can look nice. I can buy the Gucci and the Versace and the She's, all the Italian names, and look nice. And I could drive all these nice fancy cars. Beautiful. Sounds great. And your savings is? My kids will tell you that. That's what I ask them. And your savings is? So if you can't tell me about your savings, then we have nothing to talk about. You have nothing. Because those are material things. You go around the corner and some driver, you're the best driver on earth, you go around the corner and somebody runs into you. What happened? Your insurance still going up, baby. You're going to pay a little bit more. But guess what? Daddy will drive the little Toyota. Daddy's going to be happy. And he's going to go down the road. When daddy retire, then daddy going to decide how he wants to spend his money. How he wants to live comfortable. Let's travel the world. We have an American passport only to go to our country of origin. Let's go and see other places. Let's save our money to go and see other places. Let's learn other cultures. Let's eat different food. You know, gone are the days when a guy used to say, I will propose to you in Paris under the Eiffel Tower. I'll take you to Paris. Now she has to buy her own ticket.
Because we're talking about equality. Where is the foundation? Where is the money? Where are they getting it from? Why do they have to settle for less? Because our parents, our grandparents, didn't make any provision for us. And that is where I struggle with our community. My concern is our community. And financial stability is paramount to our community. And we need to get out there, educate our people so they can understand the power of having money, not spending money. We all can spend money. But how many of us have money 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now? When I sit with a person, that is what I discuss. Longevity. Forget tomorrow. We're going to see tomorrow, and you know, we're either going to make it or not make it. But what happened 10 years from now when life happens? When you're taking 5, 6, 7 different pills, you know? When, you know, the big things happen and you're no longer prime rate insurable, that's when you want to get insurance? Absolutely not. Then you find it as a burden. But you could fix the financial burden when you're younger. We can put in place for our children. We can put in place for our businesses so that it could carry on even if there is a loss or if we come incapacitated and no longer able to work. What about the disability coverage? Do you understand what I'm saying? So these are the things that we have to educate our folks on, and, you know, that is why I've agreed to host a show every Tuesday from 7 to 9 here on this channel to educate our people, our community, about what is happening, what is going on, and what they can do to fix it for themselves. I have an open line. You can call me at any time, and I would answer you. If you call me on 855-411-0424, that's 855-411-0424, I would gladly help anyone that needs my help and answer any question that you may have, because financial education is very important. Gone are the days when we say 401k and IRA will take care of our future. Gone are those days. The tax implications that comes with it, the new tax bracket that you enter into, does it solve the problem then? You don't pay it now, you pay then. Then what happens? You lose then, you think you're gaining, and then you wind up losing then again. So I think these are conversations to be had, and I'm willing to have it with anyone that's interested in making a difference in their financial future for themselves or their family. And we can sit down, find out your financial DNA, we can do a financial DNA discovery, and it has everything in there. We can set goals, realistic goals and objectives as to where you need to be financially, you know. We can look at your annuities. We can look at fixed or variable annuities, okay? We can look at what you have in the bank that's not doing anything for you. Your 401k, your 403b, we can look at those things and see what we can do for you, because that's tax deferred money. tax deferred, you know what I mean? The government, Uncle Sam will get his money. He's taking it now. He's taking it later. What tax bracket are you going to be in? What expenses you will have to write off the taxes? Where would you be financially? You know, tax advantage. We have to look at tax advantage. What is your tax advantage? Where you need to diversify or reorganize or reset your focus. These are conversations to be had. You know, you're talking about you have a 30-year mortgage. How many people know that paying $100 a month on average, $100 a month to principal, just the principal of your mortgage, $1,200 a year, how much shorter you will have on your mortgage to pay off? How many people can answer that question? How many people knows that? As small as $100, how much money, how much thousands of dollars you knock off of your mortgage? How much time you knock off of your mortgage? You know, how many people know that you have credit cards? Which credit card to pay off? Oh, I pay off my credit card. What does that mean? You pay off that one, you have that one. Well, which one you should have paid off first? Which one is more beneficial to raising your credit score? Is it the newest one or the oldest one? Are you using more than 30% of your high credit? How is it affecting your credit score? What make you bankable? How can you invest? What are you looking for? What are your goals? Many people can't answer those questions, my friend. You know, what are you doing but long-term care? What if something happened to you and you need long-term care? Do you have that in place? Okay, I have a life insurance. All right, when I die. All right, yeah, great, when you die. Mm-hmm. So what happens, you know, when you get sick? What happens if the big ones happen and you can't move, you can't do for yourself, you can't dress yourself anymore? What happens? You become a burden to your family and your loved ones? Is that where you want to be? The critical illness element. I'm very passionate about the critical illness benefit of a policy because I'll share this. I had more than one heart attack, and I was concerned. I was very concerned. And it caused me to put things in place that I don't have to be concerned about it. If it happens, it happens. It'll take care of itself. What if you get terminally ill? You don't know what's going to happen to you. What if you become terminally ill? Up to $1.5 million of the value of your policy, they will pay. Do you have a living benefit to your policy? Do you have living benefits to your policy? People, what are you talking about? You know, people don't understand. You go to the bank, you open a bank account. You don't even have a beneficiary to your account. Something happened to you. Who gets that money? How are they getting that money? But you work and save your money in the bank. So these are the things that needs to be educated in our community, because we don't do it. We go to the bank, we open the bank account, that's it, we walk out. But what if something happens? How are our loved ones is able to access that money? Again, probate court, because we have no beneficiary on the account, probate court, attorney fees, administration fees, and there you go. The money gets eaten up. What do we do? So we worked in vain to give the man all our money? So these are the things that are concerning to me And that's why I would like to bring awareness to our community and hope and pray that they do something about it so that we can be in a better position as a people, financially and emotionally, in years to come. Dr. Hunt?
Yes, yes. Great, great. That was a great appeal for financial literacy insurance. It's so important that people have those securities and their children are young right now. It's so important for them to invest right now in their children and let it grow over a period of time. Like you said, if you're holding up a child's policy right now, that child can take that policy on into their life and the premium will stay the same and they will save tons of money. I want to see Dr. Winborn. Are you there? Your mic is open. Dr. Winborn?
Yeah, greeting. Just wanted to call in to say congratulations. Great show. Sounded really good. And everybody keep up the good work. God bless you.
Great, great, great. And we look forward to having Mr. Eugene Bias Tuesday nights, correct? We're going to start Tuesday nights. We have a show 7 to 9.
Yeah, that's correct. So we're looking forward to that. Absolutely.
And that's coming in this month?
Yep, that's coming in this month. So starting on this Tuesday.
This Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Tuesday coming, people. You heard it here at the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. Mr. Eugene Bias has a compassion for this. He has an extreme amount of knowledge. And he's very, very knowledgeable about insurance, about savings, about debt management, about saving for colleges, and et cetera. And this is a time to take advantage of this knowledge. We're going to bring in the man himself, Minister Jaquan Diaz from ReNT Talk on Wednesday night, 7 to 9. Him and brother Nathaniel Evans have the ReNT Talk on Wednesday nights. And we're going to bring him in. And maybe he has some questions as well.
Great to be on the show tonight. I was just dropping in to listen. I got to listen into about a half hour to 45 minutes of the show. It was definitely learning a little bit about financial literacy. And I'm just leave that into the hands of those who are competent in talking about it because I know a certain extent on the topic that he was speaking on. The importance of it was very appealing to me. But I don't know how except I can go on the topic. But
well, you have a young one. You have a young one. Your son is what, 3 years old now?
Yes.
And that'll be a good thing to get a policy for him so he can go to college, save money, and Mr. Eugene said he could buy his first Cadillac.
Hey, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Brother Jaquan, for coming on as well. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we're going to try to open up some of the other mics. I know a lot of people was on here. We're going to open up 347-880. 347-880, your mic is open. 347-880, your mic is open. Maybe you got to unmute yourself. Okay, I'm going to try 347-401. 347-401, your mic is open. Okay. 347-358. 347-358, your mic is open. Okay. I'm going to try again. 678. 678-496, your mic is open. 678-496, your mic is open. Okay. I'm going to try 571-264. 571-264, your mic is open. 571-264, your mic is open. Okay. And I want Brother Nathaniel to open the mics as well and on his technical support, and maybe that would help out as well. 404-1512, I know you were on, but if you have something else you want to add, you may also, your mic is open. All mics are open. Okay, 914-979, your mic is open.
Yes, indeed, my brother. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
great. Yeah, I just wanted to compliment the brother there for speaking about insurance and credit and things of that sort, because those are some important ingredients for people to build their way up to success, and it can re-empower the community as well, you know, because families, they have the insurance, if they have their credit good, then like you said, they can purchase real estate. They could also utilize that insurance to help the youth when it's time for them to, like you said, go to college. They could actually, you know, go there. You don't have to worry scratching your head thinking that, well, I'm going to get the money for him, and, you know, boy, he's going to have to pay all of this, and you got your insurance that could help out with that. So that's another good thing. So these are things that definitely do add into, you know, helping our people to get to that mountaintop of success where they can achieve their very best. And, you know, I think that that's something that we should, you know, consider, you know, in trying to make things happen, you know, for ourselves to achieve success. You know, and the other thing is, you know, as we mentioned before, it's really important to, you know, start to come from, you know, the brainwashing of seeing ourselves in the negative to seeing ourselves in the positive, that we can, you know, utilize getting rid of the negative, you know, money that we might owe and get rid of all of that. Because there's programs out there where you could borrow money to get rid of that. And then, you know, later on you could actually, you know, pay off the loan that you used to pay off all the bad credit that you had. You know, so that's something that you could do. And then there's other things out there like, you know, real estate programs. There's also nice investment programs that not necessarily that you got to put out, you know, $1,000 or $500. Sometimes, you know, you have programs where all you need to do is put up like $50 or $100. And in dealing with that, it could be for, you know, stock. It can be for cryptocurrency and things like that that can really be very helpful, you know, as well in adding into how you could help to improve the lives of people in our community as well. Because, you know, we're, you know, considered to be in this country, we're considered to be, you know, some of the biggest consumers. But in regards to being investors, that's something that we're not. And that's something that we need to start to think about. Because as we start to invest our money into things that can help us to make money, those can be different streams of income that could come in for us that can benefit us. So these are things that we could do as well, you know. And again, it doesn't have to be huge amounts of cash that you got to put up, you know. And that's another thing. When people mention investing, it's like, oh, boy, you know, you got to put up, you know, $10,000, $5,000, you know, $20,000 to invest in. No, you really don't have to put up that kind of cash. Like I said, it could be $50, $100. That you can invest in different investment programs that could really make you thousands of dollars, you know? And then later on, who knows, you know, depending on how much you've built up in the money that you've gotten, you can put thousands in at that point and even make millions of dollars. So these are things that you can do, the investment, you know, and seeing yourself not just as a consumer, but also as an investor that can make some serious cash and really start to change your life and your family's life. And then we can also have enough money where we can contribute to our community as well. So all of these things are not only possible, but, you know, these are things that we should be focused on to really bring about some positive change, you know, in helping our community. Insurance, you know, dealing with, you know, well, what we were talking about, dealing with, you know, getting our credit together, and also in investing as well. So if we do those things and start thinking from more of a positive perspective and not seeing these things as things that we can never, you know, get into because we'll never have the money and all that kind of stuff, no. You know, in order to really take advantage of all of that, you have to start seeing yourself in a positive and seeing yourself in a capable situation.
when we you know, we have such a good time, people here at Black Business Billionaire Network Club. Time runs so quickly. We have our last 6 minutes, and we want to give Mr. Eugene Bias a chance to give his contact information, his social media, his telephone numbers, et cetera, so everybody can contact him as well. We want to thank who just spoke, Dr. Benjamin Bridges from Experiencing Spiritual Unity and Meditation Show, which is on tomorrow night from 7 to 9 p.m. Don't want you to miss that as well. Mr. Eugene Bias,
sir,
give your contact information, your website, email address, where people can contact you as well. And, you know, and also we know that next Tuesday you will have your show. You'll be on next Tuesday, 7 to 9 p.m.
Yes.
347-857-1311. Go right ahead.
Okay. thank you, everyone, for listening to me. I was glad that I was able to shed some light into your financial future and give you some food for thought. I can be reached on 1-855-411-0424. That's 855-411-0424. Or directly on 678-310-4292. That's 678-310-4212. You can also reach me on Facebook at EHB Services LLC or Gene GeneByass on Twitter, EHB Services at EHB Services LLC, and Instagram the same, EHB Services LLC. I'm available to help you, to advise you, to do financial DNAs with you, and I'm looking forward to you joining me every Tuesday, starting from next Tuesday. On the on this channel from 7 to 9 every Tuesday. I appreciate it. I thank you for listening, and I know we'll make a difference in our community. Thank you again, Dr. Ron.
Great, great. It's wonderful having you on, and we appreciate it. And don't become a stranger just because you have your own show. We want you to come back. Okay, people.
Never.
Okay, so remember, love God, love yourself, and love your neighbor. And the Bible says what? Love your neighbor better than yourself. Everybody have a blessed weekend. God bless. Good night.
Good night, sir.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been,
your life has been
out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. It will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in
control, y'all.
In your heart.
gotta get better.